have your Bibles, we invite you to turn with us to the book of Luke, chapter number 1. The book of Luke, chapter number 1. Very familiar text. I'll ask if you will stand to your feet in reverence of the reading of God's precious word, the book of Luke, chapter number 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, there are a few phrases here in verse 29 and 30. I think the Lord would have us focus upon when the angel has appeared to her. The Bible says that she was troubled at his saying, and she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Verse 30, the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. I want to preach this morning, continuing a series called Unwrapping Christmas. I want to preach on the worries of Christmas. There are a lot of folks who have worry and anxiety and fear during this Christmas season. And I want to preach about that today. Father, would you help us to preach the word of God faithfully? Would you help us to proclaim it boldly? God, would you help us by the power and the Spirit of God? Give us an unction, Lord, that we might stand and preach thy word. Lord, would you reveal truth to us? Help us, God, that we might focus and center our attention upon your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us, what you're doing in our lives, and for what is yet to be done. Lord, we give you glory and praise and honor. And for this favor, we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. There are a number of fear nots associated with the Christmas story itself. And everyone, no matter how brave they may seem, no matter how brave you may act, you're afraid of something. We went up to the Ark Encounter and we went to the Creation Museum. We saw some of them gentlemen have snakes. They were handling those snakes as we went through. And some of the ladies that was in our group burst into tears. Some of them had to go hide in places. And I began to see real fear and phobias. And all of us have them, amen? Some of us are afraid of snakes. Some are afraid of spiders. Some are afraid of the dark. I know a good preacher friend of mine that says, I will not leave, unless the power goes off, I will not leave my house in the dark for any second. I always have a light on somewhere. We'll leave the light on for you. That's his motive. He's afraid of the dark. Some people, they're afraid of doctors. Amen. Some people are afraid of dentists. Some people are afraid of needles. Some people are afraid of marriage. Some people are afraid of heights. Some people are afraid of crowds. Some are afraid of strangers. Some are afraid of flying. Some are afraid of clowns. My daughter, when she was little, she was scared to death of clowns. I don't care if she's 10 years old. She's going to jump on my arm and say, pretend I'm asleep, Daddy. So she didn't have to face a clown. Why? She's afraid of them. Did you know that 2021 according to the survey that I've just read, is the most stressful, anxiety-filled year ever recorded. 70% of people reported an increase in anxiety and fear over the previous year. I would remind you, the previous year was a record. And 70% said that 2021 was more fear-packed than the year before. The other 30%, they lying. It's truth. All of us, I've never seen anything like it. Here are the things they were afraid of. The COVID pandemic, terrorism, the economy, corrupt government leaders, national security, poverty, social agendas, being alone, failure. In the Bible, we see men that were stalked with fears. I think about Moses. He feared rejection. I think about the disciples. They feared the storm, and nothing has changed. During Christmas time, a time when we should be joyous, a time when we should be Christ-centered, there are fears of pandemics, fears of economic collapse, fears of terrorism that surround our lives on every single hand. Three times, God sent angels to the earth with messages connected to the birth of his son, and all three times, they brought news which troubled hearts, caused men to fear, and their words were, "Fear not," and their words were words of peace. This first one that I've read to you, number one, the fear of the unknown. We see a young girl by the name of Mary. She has serenity. When the angel appears to her, she's a young lady that's grown up dreaming about marriage, dreaming about a family, dreaming about having a home. She's gotten engaged. Espoused is our Bible word to a man by the name of Joseph. She's about to be married, and she's maintained purity. She's still a virgin in her life. She's living close to God. She's living a godly life before the Lord, and a very bright future is no doubt awaiting her. And suddenly an angel appears. And the angel's announcement was going to turn her life completely upside down. This young girl that was a virgin, that was pure and chaste, immediately verse 29 says, look at it, she was troubled at his saying. She began to think, why me? I'm unworthy. I'm undeserving. This is unexplained. She began to reason. She began to think. Well, that gets us in trouble. She began to deliberate, and it caused her to have fear. It caused her to have trouble. She's thinking, I'm not up to the task. I'm not up to the calling. But immediately the angel's words were, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Mary will be called upon to bear shame, reproach, humiliation, for all for the glory of God. And yet hers would be the greatest honor afforded to women. She would be carrying the Christ child. Amen. When our lives do not go as we think, as we have planned that they should go, it causes fear. We begin to have fear about things which are unknown. I'm talking to somebody today. You may be a young person here, and you have a fear of the unknown, the fear about your future. Will I get married? Will I go to college? Will I have a family? Will there be a job for me? What are we going to do? I'm talking to a young person today. There's genuine fear in your life. I'm talking to maybe you're a middle-aged person, and there's bills and a mortgage, and there's health that you're concerned with, and it's, what are we going to do? We're worried about our jobs. What are we going to do? And the fear of the unknown, whether you want to admit it or not, that is in the back of your mind, and it's probably gripping the very core of your heart today. There is fear, because the plans that you have of how you're going to retire and how it's going to all wind up is very unknown to you in this hour. But I want you to know this. My Bible still says in verse 37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. He'll take care of us. He's promised that he will. There's nothing too hard for him. And no matter the shame and the reproach and the humiliation that she's going to bear, Mary was willing to submit herself to the Lord. Verse 38, Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." In other words, I believe, I accept, your plan is better than my plan. And no matter what, I want to surrender. No matter what, I want to submit. No matter what, I want to be obedient to your voice. Every child of God, if you're hearing me today, don't be afraid. Just obey. Don't be afraid. Just submit to the authority of God. He's not looking to hurt you. He wants to help you. Okay? There's another one found in the book of Matthew chapter 1. I'd like to turn there just for a few moments. Matthew chapter number 1. I want to read out of verse number 18. And may I say this again. Number 1, do not fear the unknown. You do not have to fear God's purpose in your life. Number 2, there's the fear of the unexpected. The fear of the unexpected. Look in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Amen. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Hallelujah. Number 2, there is the fear of the unexpected. Joseph, he's a fine young man. He's been praying to have a godly wife. He's been praying to have a godly home. He's become engaged. Bible word, espoused, to a pure, chaste, precious, godly young girl by the name of Mary. When it's discovered that she's with child, and he knows that baby is not his, the news of this has shattered his life. It's crushed his dreams. Can I stop long enough to ask you a question? Have you ever had something unexpected that came into your life that shattered your world, that destroyed everything around you and was so unexpected? Mary is with child and Joseph is not the father. And Joseph, with his hopes dashed and his dreams crushed, his pride lost, his life seems completely over. And now he feels like all of his prayers that he has prayed are unfulfilled and they are unanswered. What to do, he thinks. Well, I think I will divorce her privately. I will divorce her quietly and silently. I'll just send her away and not say, make a big deal about it until this baby is born. Or, well, maybe she should not have done this to me. Maybe I should divorce her publicly. Maybe I should open her up to public contempt and scorn and shame and have her ridiculed. She's hurt me. And can you imagine how he's deliberating back and forth about the humiliation? No matter what, the bottom line is we're breaking up. This cannot go on. I don't know what to do. And this second option of humiliating her and divorcing her public, according to Deuteronomy chapter 24, could lead to her stoning. And he loves her, though this news is true, and he doesn't want to see her stoned to death. I'm talking about somebody here. Everything that you had planned in your mind, it ought to go like this. In your plans, it should go just like this. And all your plans and all your hopes and all your dreams are shattered. They're smashed to pieces. And the devil's using that as a grindstone to ruin you and try to destroy you and to bring you down. But I would remind you, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Do you see the pain that's in Joseph's life? But now I want you to see the privilege. The angel says to him, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. This is what I believe the angel's saying. Fear not, Joseph. Trust God. You have more to gain by trusting me than you have to lose. I want you to consider that option just for a few moments, if you would, this morning. There is more to gain with God than you had to lose with this old world. Amen. Joseph finds out that not only has Mary been chosen, but he's been chosen. His would be the privilege to be a father figure, a daddy figure in the Son of God's life. It's a privilege to be chosen of God to do anything. If you are allowed to sing this morning and to praise him, that was a privilege that God afforded you to raise up your voice, we that are inept, we that are feeble, and praise the God of all glory. Have you seen his heavens? Have you seen his splendor? Have you seen his majesty? And that you and me, as low and worthy as we are, we can lift our voice and praise his name. Just imagine the privilege of God giving you a song, one that nobody else has ever written or recorded, and God gives you the words to praise his holy name. I'm just amazed at the goodness of our God. It's a privilege to worship him. It's a privilege to be his child. It's a privilege to be on, have the promise of heaven and be on our way to glory. What a privilege we have this morning. You have more to gain than you have to lose in this old world. Amen. Now, what are the priorities of Joseph's life? He gets the word, fear not. Don't be afraid of the unexpected with God. Mary, don't be afraid of those things that are unknown when it's with God. In spite of the ridicule, in spite of the shame, he's willing to make the Lord's will priority in his life. Are you willing to accept God's will? Are you willing to accept God's plan? Do not fear God's purpose, and do not fear God's plan for your life. On October the 1st, when we were here at Bethel for 24 hours of prayer, I took a piece of paper, and at the bottom of it, I just wrote my name, and I gave it to God. I said, God, fill in the blanks. Do what you want to. Let your will be done in my life. Let your will be done in our family. Let your will be done in this church. Let your will be done with this message today. Let the will of God be accomplished. Amen. All right, we have another one. If you'll determine in your heart that the will of God is the priority in your life, there's one more. It's found in the book of Luke, chapter 2. The book of Luke, chapter 2. I want to turn back. I want to look at verse number 8. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ has been born of his mother, which was a virgin, and she's wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and she's laid him in a manger. The God of all glory, his son has been born, and there was no room for them in the inn. No one seemed to care. So what to do? God's going to send out a birth announcement. In verse number 8, they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. I would remind you that this flock is no doubt there on the hills of Bethlehem, right near the Tower of Edar. This would be the flock that would be preparing for the Passover. One of those lambs, one of those sheep has been prepared for the Passover. They would take that one that's dedicated for the Passover and then wrap it in swaddling clothes. They would even lay it in a manger so that no injury, so that nothing would happen to it. It was the lamb that would die for the sins of the nation. And yet, word that night, those shepherds were watching over their flock by night in the darkness, in the still of that silent night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. There we are again. They're afraid of the unknown. They're afraid of the unexpected. I want to say, thirdly, there's the fear of unbelief. Have you ever been there? I want to call time out. Will you listen to me just a second? I was preaching one time where I used to pastor many, many years ago. And I was talking about how Simon Peter was in jail and how they were praying for him back at the house. Hey, can you hear them just begging, oh God, would you get Pastor Simon Peter out of jail. Oh God, would you lay it on Herod's heart to be nice to him? Oh God, would you do a miracle? And in the middle of the night, the angel came into the prison where he was and touched him on the side. He was asleep and smote him on the side and said, get up, gird yourself, follow me. He pinched his cheeks. He batted his eyes. He got himself ready. He followed the angel. The prison door swung open. He walked right down the hallway where the guards were sitting. He went right past them. The gate swung open. He walked right out into the street. And suddenly there he is, free. How did this happen? I mean, I went from being, am I dreaming? What is this? And he walks. Where does he go? He goes back to the house where they're praying for him. And what does he do? He knocks on the door. And they're praying. And somebody said, can somebody get that? We're praying, right? We're busy praying. We don't want to be interrupted praying. And they sent a little girl, a young maiden by the name of Rhoda. And she says, who is it? He said, it's Pastor Simon Peter. Can you open the door and let me in? It's cold out here. She runs back in the house and she says, I don't know if we should open the door or not. And they said, who is it, Rhoda? It's our pastor. It's Simon Peter. Oh, girl, you crazy. They called her mad. They said, you crazy. We're praying for him. The fear of unbelief. They were praying and they were filled with unbelief as to the fact that God would really do it or not. But they prayed anyway. And the answer to their prayers is knocking at the door. Amen. And while I'm preaching the message, I'm walking across the front of our altar area. I came to the door that led to a back hallway back toward our baptistry. And God said, just keep walking. I'm going to open that door. It was shut. And I stopped because I got afraid. I was afraid. I'm the pastor of the church. I'm trying to preach a message about faith. And I got afraid. And I stopped and I turned around and I made light of it. And I said, how many of y'all believe that door is getting ready to open? And hands raised all over the room. And God said, because you did it, open it yourself. I'll never be the pastor I could have been. I'll never be the man of God I could have been had I just trusted him rather than make light of that situation. The fear of unbelief will stunt you. Oh, yes, God's been good in my life. He didn't put me on a shelf forever. He sent me over here to preach to you fine folks, and God's blessed me indeed, and I thank you for what he's done. But I learned a lesson right there that fear will cripple you. Fear will handicap you. Fear will cause you to be paralyzed, and you won't be able to move forward, and you'll miss what God had for your life. And these shepherds, when they see the angel and the glory of the Lord so round about them, they had a fear of unbelief. They were about to miss what God had for them. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. It's not just for you. It's for everybody. Woo! For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. These shepherds are social outcasts. These shepherds are considered dirty. They're considered smelly and unkempt. These shepherds are religious outcasts. By their jobs, they're not really even allowed to come to the temple, though they're watching over the sheep that are going to be sacrificed for the Passover. They were separated from God, and they're separated from man. And if anybody ever needed hope, it was these shepherds. And listen, when God was going to bring a birth announcement of his son being born in Bethlehem, he came to a bunch of outcasts. He came to a bunch of smelly old sinners. I'm thinking about July 13th, 1978, when he decided one more time He wanted to announce the birth of his son, the death and the resurrection and the good news of Jesus Christ. He wanted to announce it to me that night. And amen, an old sinner, corrupt, vile, unclean, unkempt, heard the message that Jesus saves. And he saved me that night when I bowed my knee and I humbled myself in the middle of my unbelief and called on his holy name. He saved my sin-sick soul. Men are separated from God by their sins, doomed to a devil's hell. But if we would believe in the message of Jesus Christ, he'd save us and forgive us of our sins. I mean, fear has gripped these men to the core. Fear has paralyzed these men. I'm going to stop and admit another thing. I want to acknowledge this. One time, upstairs in my home, laying on my face with my Bible open, I was writing down a few notes. And one time my daughter said to me, she said, "Daddy," she said, "what is this?" I said, "it's my notes." She said, "oh, I thought you preached from the Bible." I'm laying on my face, making a few notes as most preachers do, wanting to make sure that I get some things in here and in here that I can share that God has spoken to me about. And God said, "look up. I have something I want you to see." I was so afraid I couldn't do it. I was so fearful. You could feel holiness and the Shekinah glory of God in that room. I couldn't even look up. There was such awe, and I'm not trying to excuse it. I'm telling you that I missed what God had for me because I wouldn't look up. And I just wonder, there may be somebody here in your life. There's been times in your life where God told you to do a certain thing or look at us and you just would not, could not, told you to go to the altar and you just would not or could not do it. I'm telling you this morning, if he tells you to go, youngins, whatever he tells you to do, whatever he speaks to you about, be obedient to his holy voice and don't spend your life in fear and don't spend your life in unbelief. Just acknowledge the God of all glory and be obedient to his precious voice. Amen. I just want to say this is a picture of grace, how the message that Jesus saves comes to a bunch of old sinners. Oh, sinners ought to display fear when they get in the presence of a thrice holy God. I think about Adam. When Adam and Eve got off in sin and when they were out in the garden and when the Lord came walking in the cool of the day and he was looking for them, what did God say? He said, "Adam, where art thou?" What was Adam's response? It wasn't that God didn't know where he was. What was Adam's response? He said, "I was afraid and I hid myself." There ought to be a fear when we're in sin. There ought to be a fear if we're unbelievers. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, sinners ought to fear the Lord. But God is desiring that men would respond in faith. God is desiring that men would respond in obedience. "Fear not," he said, "for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." It may be that you have fear this Christmas. It may be fear about health and fear about your family, fear about your job, fear about your bank account. But we needn't fear. God has given us good tidings of great joy. The Savior's been born. Christ the Lord can do the impossible. He's wanting to bless us today. Hear me. The same direction. God gave the angels, or the shepherds, direction. The angels gave direction to the shepherds where to find the Christ child. And he's given us direction, has he not? Oh, yes, he has. Oh, my Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." He's given us direction about how to be saved. Oh, my, what a message this morning. And these shepherds, they came and they saw the Christ child. And the Bible says in verse number 20 that the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Amen. When the message of the angels came to the shepherds, they were filled with fear. But when they acknowledged, when they received, when they believed, they went and seen as it was told unto them, they came back rejoicing. They returned glorifying God. I'm asking this morning,
Are you glorifying God? Are you praising His holy name? The difference was you've been to Calvary. The difference was you made a trip to a place that you bowed your knee before an almighty God, and He changed your life, and He changed your world, and He changed your forever destination. Thank God this morning. I want to read a scripture out of the book of John chapter 6. I'm almost done. I'm rounding the turn for home. John chapter 6, here's a revelation today. You may fear today, Pastor Darren, I just fear that God will not forgive me of my sins. Preacher Darren, I think I've gone too far. Will God forgive me of all the evil and all the wrongs and the times I've messed up? Listen, I've already told you a couple of times I messed up my life, and God's still been good to me. In John chapter 6 and verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. There's a promise for you that are afraid. There's a promise for you that have a dread of the unknown, or a dread of the unexpected, or even a dread in your life of unbelief. Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. I believe you'll do it for Preacher Joss. I believe you'll do it for Preacher Jerry. But Lord, I don't know that you will do it for me. Hey, God can, for with him nothing shall be impossible. And he says if we'll come to him, he will in no wise cast us out. Three times the angels came, and all three times there's a reaction that's based on fear. And when fear is dealt with, and when grace is received, you and I are blessed. Amen. There was an old man. He was asked, what has robbed you of joy the most in your life? What has robbed you of the most joy in your life? And the old man's answer, fear. Things never happen. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. That's our trouble. I want to say, is there fear in your heart today? I'm reminded of my grandfather. I've told this story before. My grandfather got a job at an early age trying to help the family. It was in another little village. He had to walk, and everything was fine until it got this time of year, and it gets dark early. And he was scared to walk home in the dark. And he said to his daddy and his mama, said, I want to stay every night this week because I don't get off work until like 5 and 6 o'clock. And then I've got to walk home in the dark. And it was mile after mile after mile across a dangerous ridge where robbers were. And my grandfather was scared to death. Early 1900s. Didn't have no other way of transportation. And his daddy said, son, no. You got to be home by Friday. You can't stay over the weekend, because me and your mom will be worried to death about you. We got to see you. We love you. Come home, son, on Friday night. He said, but Daddy, it'll be late. I'll come home Saturday morning. He said, no, you come home Friday night, son. We can't make it another night without seeing you. And that whistle rang about 6 o'clock, and he started that, and it was already dark. He started that track home, and man, he was trembling. You ever been there? I mean, I've had such fear at times I've trembled. And he was trembling coming as he was coming across the ridge. He heard something. He heard voice. Scared him absolute death. He said, who is it? Who are you? Identify yourself. He said, it's your daddy, son. I've come to walk you the rest of the way home. With his words, you might be afraid. Woo. And he put his hand, my grandpa's hand, and walked the rest of the way home. He said, son, I was the most scared that night I ever was in my life. And he said, I'm going to tell you in life, son, there may become times in your life when you get afraid of the dark, when you get afraid of circumstances, or you get afraid of situations. But if you'll put your hand in his hand and hear his sweet voice, there'll be no fear. My Bible says perfect love casteth out all fear. My Bible says he didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. That is what he has given unto us. Maybe you're here this morning. Is there fear in your heart today? Bring it to Jesus. Is there sadness? Bring it to Jesus. Is there fear over sin? Is there fear over disappointment? Is there fear over disillusionment? Is there fear over burdens? Are they heavy? Is there brokenness? Is there despair? Is there failure? Have you messed up? Has there been defeat? Have you given in? Whatever's causing you to fear, bring it to Jesus. He came to take away. our fears and our disappointments. You stand to your feet today. The worries of Christmas. We do not have to fear God's purpose. We do not have to fear God's plan. We do not have to fear God's presentations in our life. Maybe you might want to come this morning. Brother Seth, if you'd come. Maybe you want to render your need to the Lord and say, Lord, I've had so many fears about things. Lord, I know you. I'm just a human. Lord, would you help me, Lord, to overcome this fear that's gripping my soul? I'm talking to a mother here. There is genuine fear over what's going to happen with your babies as they grow up. I'm talking to a daddy. There's genuine fear today. If you just bow your knee and say, oh God, would you help me, Lord, in the middle of my fears? Father, this morning, I want to praise you and I want to honor you. Lord, I want to confess to you that I've been fearful. Lord, there's been times that you've showed us what to do and we did it not. And we did it not out of fear, out of unbelief. Lord, we did it out of fear of the unknown, fear of the unexpected. And yet, God, we're learning every day that if we'd trust you in obedience, knowing that perfect love casteth out fear, that God, you'd give us grace and you'd help us to overcome. So, Lord, we confess to you our fear. We confess to you our sin. And God, we lay before you our future. We lay before you this day. We lay before you our prayer requests. We lay before you our worship, our everything, Father. We lay it before you. And we say, oh God, we trust you. We don't trust the world system. God, there are so many things we're afraid of. But help us, Lord, not to be afraid of the plan and the purpose of Almighty God. Lord, we love you today. And I ask God your blessing. We seek your face. God, we ask your help. This day, we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen and amen.